Okay, that's your cue. Okay, great. We'll call the meeting to order at 5:46. And roll call, Sean Deasy.
Here.
Will McCominick here. Stacy Kirkland. Stacy, are you there?
Here. Sorry.
Okay.
Whoa.
Jason Ingram.
Here.
Okay. We'll do the pledge.
Are you seeing the flag, Jared?
Good. Thank you. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Approval of the agenda.
This is number three again.
What?
No.
Do I have the old one? I don't know.
You have a February one.
Oh, I have a February one.
Yeah, I have February. A February one also.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh, I have a mark.
This is strangely familiar. Okay.
No, I have it right. Pulled up right now. Do you want me to send it to the printer?
Three cylinders here.
Sure.
I'm trying to.
And you caught that though. That, see? You're okay.
You're not as tired as you thought. Yeah.
It's like, I could do that again, Tori. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I made sure I did it right.
I looked online and I saw it, so
yeah.
I understand.
Pick the wrong one to print out.
Anyways, what was the number?
Three.
That would be the
approval.
I move to approve this agenda. Let's roll.
Okay.
You've seen it.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay.
Bags in
and you know the consent agenda. Did everybody look at that? The board minutes, the bills and warrants, the agreement for the development of educational materials, and the report of discarded materials.
Mm-hmm. I'll approve that as well.
Okay, I'll second. Oh, I didn't do all in favor last time. Sorry. Do I need to do that by roll? No. Okay. All in favor on the consent agenda by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy?
Aye.
And Jason?
Aye.
Okay. Public comments. Anybody have any public, your location?
So I want you to know that Cash Q. No, what is his
Wimble.
Contacted me to speak to you all today, and I thought he would be coming in at this point. It's possible he may come in a little bit later. So somebody that leases land to care for his cattle from us.
Okay.
And so he may still come, and I want to make sure that we give him the opportunity. I said he could talk to us for up to 10 minutes.
Okay. On to reports. Any board member reports?
I have a quick one. I was contacted by a lady because I was fishing for backpack donations, and she has a bunch of brand new hangers for filing cabinets. Do we still use all that stuff? Oops, could we use it here at the school?
Hangers for filing cabinets.
Yeah, the little hangers in the files that go inside of a filing cabinet. She had a bunch of new ones and a bunch of dry erase markers. I'm sure the teachers will want
so this. The dry marker, erase markers, I say yes. The filing cabinet things, unless it's the actual folder.
Yeah, it hangs in the filing cabinet.
It's a hanging folder.
Folder type of, yeah.
So if it's the actual folder, yes. But if it's the mechanism that they hang
the
on.
The framework.
No, it just hangs on there. There are a bunch of new folders.
So the folders, yes, the mechanism, no.
I was going to show you pictures. Okay.
Cool.
And the trees. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that this year. They want to replant around the Greenville area first, and then the Beckworth Scar will be next year. So kind of a bummer there, but and then stay in contact with the guy. So next year we should be able to get some trees. As far as the field trip, I wanted to do. That's all I got.
Cool. Thank you. Okay, and I did not deliver my report electronically, so let me share it.
Okay.
In print.
Do we have it in email? I can have it, Sherry.
Kelly, you have it, right? I emailed it to you to print. Yeah. Did you see that? Kelly?
It might be at the bottom of them. Hold on a second. I think it might be
Okay.
I gave you our regular enrollment numbers. We're up a little bit again this month. It's definitely been creeping up. Yay, Thompson Peak. They took a little jump up there. Again, we're just spending so much time with all the new money and plans that the state's throwing our way. Tonight you will get to see that org chart for next year with new positions that need to exist. WASC, the Western Association of Schools and Colleges, I sent you the report from the WASC committee. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really positive what they saw and what they liked. It will mean we get a 6-year accreditation. I have no doubt that based on what they wrote, that's mm-hmm. what will happen there. So yay, Susanville. Tonight we're looking at an updated school-wide action plan. You had approved one previously. They gave us some feedback and then you have to update the plan with the feedback from the committee. So tonight we'll be looking at that. I just wanted to mention a new school bus may be something we need to consider again. I think we've had enough mechanical difficulty this year to say maybe it's time to pick up that another new bus. Elle got us a quote, not to say it'll be the same, but I'm hoping that Matthew, for next year when we do our July budget, maybe we can be considering that. And then we can keep the third bus as a backup. But what would be really nice is the new bus has automatic chains. It would be very nice because right now to try to go out there and do chain up a bus is not really very practical. So we can have two buses with auto chains. That'd be,
Is this where we got the last bus?
So I've been doing a lot of research and we had our DOT inspection today and the CHP officer was here and I talked to him. So state of California is really pushing electric buses, but for us out here, it will not work.
Yeah.
Because the route, it is longer than what is needed for the bus to be plugged in, and there is no place in this whole county to get a station to plug them. And Lassen County, I guess, has been waiting almost a year to get the units to get charging stations. So I've kind of veered away from that because they're really pushing for it, but for us, I don't think it's a good option.
Yeah. So this one's a diesel?
Yeah, it's exactly the same as that bus that we just bought.
And were you able to get another quote?
I did send you another quote.
Okay.
On the very next.
Yeah. From JZ.
No, this is that's more of their detail.
Oh.
So I was able to get two. It's not easy to get quotes.
Right.
So I do it. There is
two. Okay.
I would love it.
Yeah, I know that this gang would love it too, obviously. So Matthew, you're really going to help us make sure that we can fit that in.
Absolutely.
Maybe Worship Can has some for sale because they
reduced
all their bus drivers or they can't hire anyone.
this one company that I did get the quote from, Silver State International, he works with a lot of the school districts, and he has been looking. There was only one used bus from Eastern Sierra Plumas, but the mileage is high. He would recommend it.
Yeah.
I really think getting a new bus with auto chains would be nice. Yeah.
Because no, the price difference has never seemed,
you know, advantageous enough to do that.
And I can tell you this company that we purchased a bus from has been so helpful. They're great.
That's good.
And the other quote I was able to get is from Bus West that we actually purchased the old bus from, and that was not a pleasant experience.
Okay. Pretty good customer allowance. Or 23,000.
What a markup, huh?
Yeah.
So school bus, just to kind of give you a heads up, we'll work on getting that on a future agenda for you to approve.
Yeah.
And then AB 104, that's a special thing the state did. And we had one more student apply, and we approved their request to reduce their credits at Susanville this time. So that makes the total, I think, of three students that have been in the boat of being a junior or senior last year, not going to graduate on time, and we're able to reduce some credits for them so that they can graduate now this year. She's done. Okay, that was my report. Sorry.
Okay, Matthew, we're ready for you.
All right, and this is going to include the second interim update. Did you want me to go ahead and do the presentation now or wait until we're down at the action items?
I think you can do it now.
Sounds good. So if I could, I'll share my screen.
Oh, sorry, I gotta do something for that. Sorry, Matthew, it's ready for you now.
No problem. All right, I will be starting with Long Valley. We're going to be reviewing our second interim update and take a look at our actuals through January 31st. So a couple of highlights I'd like to cover from our narrative page. We are looking to increase our budgeted surplus from FIB by 91K. That brings us up to 196K, or excuse me, an increase of 196K up to 288K, currently scheduled for Long Valley. At our cash flow, that is going to have a low of 1.5 million, but we're looking at an ending projected cash position of 2.5 million. That's 291 days average operating costs, which is an extremely healthy cash position. If we take a look at our revenues, you'll see that overall there is an increase of about $230,000. While we did have a slight reduction in ADA of about 5.12, so we do see a reduction in our base state funding, we do see an increase of our one-time funding. And I'll get into this a little bit more later on, but that's mostly based off of our one-time revenues that we are planning to spend this year. We do have a slight increase in expenses as well of about $32,000. Most of this is going to be based in your operating and services. And that's going to be mostly things that Cherry and I reviewed and determined based off our year-to-date actuals. So if I jump over to the summary here, this gives you a little bit better look of the actual changes from FIB, which is our first interim budget, to our now second interim budget update. You'll see that again, we're looking at net revenues of $288,000. With a almost $3 million beginning balance, that would put us at almost $3.3 million ending as of June 30th. Next, we'll take a look at our detailed version of our Long Valley update. You can see that our actuals are starting to catch up to where we'd expect them to be. Our revenues are at 55%. We are at 58% of the year at this point, so we are looking very good there. As far as our changes in our revenues, you'll see again that reduction in ADA did reduce our base funding, but due to the recognition of several one-time funds such as ELO, the Expanded Learning Opportunity Plan and grant, the EEGB, which is the Educational Effectiveness Block Grant, and Safe Water revenues that bumped up our other state revenues quite a bit. And as we go through expenditures, again, not a whole lot of change, just some adjustments made based off of actuals and planning for the rest of the year. You'll see that that's at around 51% out of the 58% a year, which is exactly where we'd like to be. Next, I'll jump down to our cash flow. Our cash flow, again, nothing that is looking concerning here at all. We're in a very stable position given the rest of the year with that, again, 2.5 million ending balance projected with 291 days. And your next couple pages are going to be ADA assumptions that were used, as well as your multi-year projections. Multi-year, we did, sorry, getting a little feedback there. We did have a slight growth in projected ADA, a very conservative look at our multi-year. This one's a little difficult this year. We have a lot of schools in a position where they are going to be deficit spending because of the influx of money last year. But overall, we're looking in a very solid position. So before I move on to Thompson Peak, did anyone have any questions on Long Valley? All right. So next up, we have our Thompson Peak second interim update. Again, to highlight some of the changes, we are looking at a surplus of close to $160,000 right now for Thompson Peak. That is an increase of about $25,000 from our first interim budget update. One major note as far as cash flow, and this is not going to affect our net outcome, is we did take into consideration the leasehold improvement assumed, but that might be moved into next year. That's just something to keep in mind. Cash flow, again, looking in a very solid position with a projected ending balance of $1.4 million, which is 293 days of operating costs. And we see a slight bump in revenues for Thompson Peak. And they do actually have an ADA increase, as Sherry mentioned earlier. We projected almost 5 ADA increase for this budget update, which is great to hear. And if we look at our federal and other and local state revenues, you will notice that they are slightly lower. And the confusion might come because this is listing the same reason. I did want to touch on that very quickly. When we take into consideration our one-time funding, such as ELO grant or the Learning Opportunity Plan, they are considered unearned revenues. And all that simply means is that if you're not going to spend it this year, we're not going to recognize the revenue. It's going to be deferred until the next year. So while we saw in Long Valley an increase, that's because we are planning to spend a little bit more than our assumption in the beginning of the year. And in Thompson Peak, we see a decrease because they're spending a little bit less. If we take a look at expenses, there is a slight increase overall, about $12,000. Again, these were adjustments made off of year-to-date actuals and our projected last 5 months. Jump over to the summary here. And again, we're looking at a revenue of about $1.9 million, expenses of $1.8 and change, and we have an excess of close to $160,000. That would give us an ending fund balance of about $1.8 million for Thompson Peak. On the detail tab, again, this is kind of reiterating what we already covered. The slight increase in ADA is going to increase all of our base funds. We did reduce some of our one-time funding based on expenses, and that will be finalized at year end. And then some minor adjustments made to our expense items. And if we go down, we're at 53% of our expenses, 58% of the year completed, revenue at 55, again, right where we'd like to see them. And current actuals of a $126,000 operating surplus as of January 31st for Thompson Peak. Cash flow, no issues in sight. Everything's looking very solid here. Again, about 293 days cash on hand projected, which is extremely healthy. We'll jump down to our multi-year. We'll be taking a little bit more closer look at this when we start looking at our July budget, trying to get a much stronger multi-year based on the new revenues that aren't quite solidified yet, but are in the works. And lastly, our assumptions. So with that, I'll go ahead and stop sharing and open it up to any questions that anyone has.
None here.
Can you?
All right.
Can you just, I'm sorry, remind me what the leasehold improvement is for Thompson Peak?
Yep, I can tell you.
Okay, thank you.
When we go to buy the building, when we actually go to close on it, Stacy, the USDA has required that we make some ADA adjustments to that building. Okay. Which will probably, I think we were estimating, or the estimate we got is about $160,000 to do that.
So we needed, you know, they were okay with us moving forward without having to do it before we closed, but they were going to give us a short window after to get it done. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I just forgot.
No worries. Well, thank you, Matthew. So part of our action tonight is that we have to approve the second interim budget, which is our action item A, but you've explained and thank you.
Not a problem. And if anyone has any questions, please feel free to reach out.
Great.
Okay. Item D, the program report submitted in writing. Mm-hmm. That includes the campus locations, special programs, and safety.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if anybody had questions on those.
I love all of those with the pictures now. Those are
aren't they great? Yeah. They've really raised the level on those.
Yeah, they have.
The high schoolers loved getting their picture taken.
Oh, I'll tell you. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, those look really good. Okay, on item seven, information items, the follow-up on the CHKS report.
California Healthy Kids Survey. Okay. Sorry, that's what that stands for. Darn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I went through and looked at all of the areas that were of concern that we reported on last month, and then explained how we are addressing those concerns. So I won't read through everything, but I'll just touch on some of the highlights. So like one of the ones that jumped out were, you know, that suicide rate at Thompson Peak. So we are making sure that the students have access to the counseling services, outside agencies if they need additional support. Sherry forwarded me a great referral actually for wraparound services that I hadn't seen yet. So we've got those. And then some of the areas in the student success course help with some of those skills that those kids may be lacking, you know, how to be more confident or becoming leaders, how to deal with some of their emotions. So that student success course actually hits a lot of these areas. So go Misty. And so we'll continue to monitor, you know, those, especially, you know, like that suicide one, and just see how our kiddos are doing and making sure that they have access to the resources that they need. Some of the areas that we saw at both sites, decision making, you know, we try to involve parents, staff, everybody in decisions. We email, phone call, parent square, you know, if there are other ways that we can reach out that we haven't figured out, you know, please share it with us. But I think we hit on all of those areas. Smoke signals, you know, carrier pigeons, people probably don't want that. So, and then extracurricular activities. I know that was an area of concern, but coming out of the COVID restrictions, that makes sense that we couldn't do a lot of stuff. But now a lot of the campuses are starting to offer more of that. Like girls volleyball is going on right now. And those kids are so excited. Oh my goodness.
There's a chess club going on here. Kelly's group was starting to offer some extracurricular activities. Have any of them started, Kelly?
So we had students and parents alike had, well, an employee, I should say, had interest in starting a guitar club, a garden club, a cooking club, and then a car club. So they've been like sending me their ideas forward and things like that. And yeah, it's just been another way to get the kids on site, in my opinion, and like with adults and some avenues of like healthy experiences with their peers. So more efforts that we've had.
Whoa. I don't know. Thank you.
Sorry.
There's a bunch of feedback. I don't know why. Okay. Thanks. So I think that's a good response, not only for the extracurricular, but kids that are having suicidal feelings, mm-hmm. having more opportunities is a good thing too. So.
Did they still do peer counseling? They used to do that one. Remember that?
Yeah, that
it's
not
much.
Not as much.
I still remember what I was taught way back then. I don't know.
It's something I can look into. I don't know how effective it who knows? The way some of our kids have been behaving the last week or so, I don't know if that would be the best. Spring fever has hit early. But also I think with some of the, we were talking before the meeting, now that some of the COVID restrictions have loosened up, now we're seeing all the other behaviors that we haven't seen in a while because we were, you know, focusing on the distancing and everything like that. Now it's just back to the other.
So maybe you stuff. Maybe you put that on your list to investigate peer tutoring.
Yeah.
Because even if we take the peers and have them help recognize, you know, their peers that are, you know, at risk.
Yeah.
That might be a value too, to even just notice.
The thing I remember was that 1 hour window, and I've never forgotten that.
Well, I'm thinking the approach, like if you can use it in a, as a counseling and have specified things laid out to address where they're just helping not specific, like one person, but one topic. Okay, this is what we're talking about. And you just have this peer that you discuss that topic with. I mean, if you're not, you know, per se counseling, but.
Yeah, it was more, from what I remember, was what Sherry said, was to see it and ask questions. It wasn't like they come see you in a doctor's office or something.
Yeah, definitely. We'll
get into it. I was a kid, he locked me down for 2 years. I'd be in the principal's office every day.
Right.
I don't blame him.
I work with a group of administrators from all different schools all over the place that we meet once a month. And every single administrator is talking about the struggles with behaviors that kids are just, you know, way more than they were. It was almost like they got all this crunched down and now they're going woo way over here. So
seems like they should need a peer counselor more than ever now.
It would seem.
I just my thought about it. I thought they had peer counselors.
It might be old now, David. I don't know.
I'm sure it is
like 30 years ago for me.
They could probably use it right about now.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it does in some form, so I will look into it and I'll bring you some information.
I definitely know there's suicide prevention work that we could do with students so that they can help in that way.
Yeah, and then just making one of the other areas, making sure all the staff know, you know, what to look out for, certain phrases. If kids are searching things on the computer, our Go Guardian program will flag it and send it to us, actually. So if a kid is searching that kind of stuff, we get notified. And then just helping parents to, you know, what conversations do you need to have with your kid? Or, you know, if they're, it's not an easy or fun conversation to have, but what questions do you need to ask if, you know, you're hearing certain things? So.
Thanks for that follow-up.
The LCAP needs assessment, item B.
Wilma, would you be willing to entertain speaking with us?
Okay.
So we set aside 10 minutes for you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. So, for everybody that doesn't know, I'm Cash and I lead Spookville here in Doyle. This will be my third year this spring through the summer into the fall. And I've been working with the NRCS. It's Natural Conservation Resources. They do subsidy programs. They help farmers and ranchers. But there's a lot of benefits to it, and one of the things that I talked about was the troughs that I wanted to do. That's still in the process. They haven't totally got on board with that, but with And the last meeting that I came to, we had discussed the pivot, for those that didn't work here. And I can't personally do it on my own. I would have to do it through something like this. And they, I believe they cost share a beginning farmer 85%. So
that's 85%.
No,
they give you 85.
They give you 85. Mm. So you have to come up with the remainder, but it's an option. And I was even interested in doing this before the school drilled the new well there. I was interested off of doing it off the old well, just exploring because we didn't know a lot about it, which I have gained some more knowledge about it.
About the old well.
Yes, I measured it with a well sounder, and it was 15 feet to static, and it's 367 feet deep, and it is a 14-inch casing. But, I mean, there's a lot of gray area there with that old of a well, and there is no record of it at the planning department. So if I know anything or any wells drilled before 1990, there's no permit, no record. So I'm going to just guess from the people I've talked to, it was probably drilled like late 80s. I'm just guessing. Mm-hmm. But it's still interesting. The new well, from what I had talked to the drillers when they were drilling it, I don't know if it would produce enough water to run a very big pivot. And sure, there might be things you could do, adjust, maybe a bigger pump, but I mean, it's still gonna just produce what it'll produce. So that's an option. If you could tie them both into one main line, then you might meet the volume of, and I mapped it out on Google Maps. I figured you could probably get 55, a 60-acre pivot. But like I said, there's still just a lot of gray area about it. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but the field does have all the water rights to Willow Ranch Creek, or almost all of them. There's a few places above that have a domestic right. And then there's one other place that has a little bit of irrigation.
Creek that comes on that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes right off of Little Grid. Yeah. It goes in two spots, but there's a diversion up above here. It'll split it off one way, or it'll split it off another way. And this way will go into the field. And I'm not sure. I think you could get it from this way too, but it's such a mess. Yeah. And it's so.
So that's there's an old decree that.
That's yeah. That piece of yeah, and I believe the decree was from the 70s, so they're pretty ironclad now. They are what they are. But let's see what else.
Sorry, I never get service in here, so I'm surprised it rained.
Yeah, so like with the NRCS, like I said, they cost share the programs. And they're not guaranteed, but there's a pretty good chance, you know, if you meet their requirements. So let's see.
So if you're leasing the property, they would work with you directly?
Yes, ma'am. And that's what like the water troughs I had asked about earlier. They that's something they would do. They are all about conserving water, preserving natural resources, wildlife habitat, anything. So, and I know with like, say, oh, hey, I wanna put a pivot here. They're gonna be like, okay, we need flow rates. We need drilling reports. There's a lot more than just we're gonna put a pivot here, but it's possible, but
So I just need to ask, because this is not my wheelhouse for sure. Why would you have a pivot there? For what? For, I understand the troughs and filling them, right?
And then I would say the best case scenario would be to change it to some type of a crop, to grow a crop there. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I remember you saying about the farm to table in someday, the future. Yeah. It would work.
Right.
It would work in with that. And I do know, so say they did. Okay, we'll help you do this pivot.
Right.
I believe it's a 10-year, like the project has to stay there for a 10-year. And then after the 10-year, if you want to change it or take it out, you can take it out. But that's part of their stipulation.
So you would need a lease for 10 years?
At least. Mm-hmm. And that's not even, and that's what, it worries me, because that's not even, I mean, to buy seed man, fertilizer, you can't believe how much fertilizer costs right now. It's scary to death. But yeah, it's crazy. It is interesting though. And I would say it's worth looking into. I have thought about this ever since I moved into that field. When I found that well and those willow bushes, I was like, man, there is a 14-inch well. Huge. I almost ran it over with the mower.
I don't want it.
But
so they just give you the 85%?
I'm pretty sure it's.
And they don't ask for rights of land later or anything like that?
Nope. It's 10 year. Yeah. I can try to get you guys some other. You can Google what they were. They're hand in hand with like USDA. Like in
town. I was on the RCD book for 2 years.
Oh, good. Yeah. But yeah, I'm pretty sure the new farmer, it's 85%.
Right.
And if it's not, it's at least 75%.
And you better come up with the rest.
Yes.
And then all the profit from growing food.
Yeah, we'd have to, or we could cost share it or do something. I don't know.
Is there enough interest in agribusiness for our high schoolers? Maybe not just this school, a lot of schools.
Yes, there is.
Years ago, there was a big agribusiness push with Ryan Wolf and John Richards, mm-hmm. that died at the college. That might be something.
Oh, yeah.
Marlon put a stop to that one. A lot of interest. I don't know if you want to get wrapped up in that. You might just want to grow and sell it.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, it'd be way easier. I mean,
so Cash, I gotta step back again because I'm confused. Okay. I understand that you wanted to lease the property so that your cattle could graze.
Yeah.
And then you talked about having the troughs and being able to use the water on the property so that you could water your cattle. Now this is sounding like something completely different.
Right.
Right? Am I?
Yeah.
That is right.
So when I first moved in there, and that's what I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I can see a huge difference in that field just from the cover crop that I've done, the rye. So with the rye and then the grazing it is like cleaned it up a bunch because it was really, really junky.
It was rotten.
And and that's without spraying it. I mean, we should probably look into spraying it sometime. But
spraying
like weed.
Okay, that's
yeah.
Assume I know me. Okay, please.
You want to spray the field itself?
Yeah, there's a lot of scotch thistle, a bunch of white top, and the white top actually it's kind of like knocked it back pretty good.
And that's just heads. They still in there.
The go heads aren't too bad. Yeah, the go heads.
You spray in the spring and the fall?
I haven't sprayed out there because generally. And yeah, probably. In the contract, it says I can't spray, but I'm not sure if that's because of the lawyer. I think it's close to the school. I don't know because I know that's a big no.
Well, the healthy schools act, you can under certain situations spray.
Well, and we're not there.
Well, it's not a school, so I don't know.
That's what I mean. Yeah. The school is not located.
Yeah, right. It's I think it's far enough away that it would.
If they are, they shouldn't be.
They better not be.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, and what I was thinking with the rye when I was planting it, one, it make more feed for the cattle. And it improves the ground. It's establishing a crop that is not weed. Yeah. But my thinking with there too is NRCS is they require a 2-year and then to irrigation history. And I was just thinking, if I did the rye, then maybe I could come back to the school. And then with the existing well, the old well, you know, then they'd be, oh yeah, let's throw a pump in there. Let's put a main line to a center pivot. But that's not how it works. You gotta, and with the new well, at least there's power there. That is a big, big, big bonus.
What's the distance between the two wells?
They're close, man.
So you could get power from one. Okay.
Yeah, they're really close. And that's what the drillers were saying, because I saved their bacon one day. They were going to buy water to drill, and 5 cents a gallon. I was like, man, you guys have walked past that well probably 100 times today. And they were like, oh, no kidding. I was like, yeah, man, it's 15 feet of static. It's pretty deep. And they walked over there, and they're like, holy crap. Yeah, saved us. But anyway, they put a 5-horse pump down it and hooked it to their welder. And that's how they built the water truck.
So did you irrigate the ride this year?
I mean,
would it count?
See, that's the thing off the creek. Let's see. Off the creek, because it has all the water rights, NRCS said they would do some type of a project with that creek, but that's like pipes and maybe a diversion box.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a joke. I mean, you're wasting your time trying to flood irrigate that.
So you don't have 1 year of irrigation. You need two.
Yeah, two.
You need like a 12-year conversion.
Two. Yeah. But we could start. And when I say use the well, I mean like just show them, like, hey, it works. Here's my crop.
Yeah, maybe there's a way.
Let it flood, or maybe put an above ground main line and just turn it on every so often. I might be able to come up with a real line. You know, that's.
I love how you look at me like I'm really sorry. I really do appreciate that.
The wheel lines.
I don't know what a wheel line is.
Yeah, wheel line's a pain in the
butt. It's just wagon wheels with a big pipe and sprinklers, and yet
some people use it. Okay.
The person never saw it so often.
You have to move it. Yeah, got it.
Yeah. It was just like, boo.
You just go flip a switch.
And, yeah. Really fun.
So we're at that point. Can you sort of summarize what you would be asking us for? Because obviously we're not ready to take any kind of action, but right. At least we can start investigating.
For sure. So one, if I could use the well, and if that's a yes.
New or old or both?
The whole or the new one, because it's got power. To get power to the old one, that's more money. So we got to figure that out. But we need to know if it'll, we need to know if it would run a pivot off of the test pump. So that would be part of it. And then we need to give that to the NRCS for one, but definitely an irrigation specialist. I would recommend Cobb's irrigation probably. And then they would say, yeah, it'll run, you know, this much, which I have a pretty good idea that it would not run. I think when I did my math, I figured it would do like 30 acres from what I remember. They said it went from 300 gallons a minute to like 200 within 30 minutes. It dropped.
Is it a different aquifer than the old one?
No. I'm sure it's the same. The static is.
Why is it not producing than the old one would?
Well, I don't think it would produce more. I think it would produce equivalent.
You need them both, is what you're saying.
You run one and the other to one main line.
So you got two pumps going all the time. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Which would be 60 acres.
Yeah.
As long as you're the job happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
So we need to do a study if we're even interested.
But I do know that. So for NRCS to establish 2 years irrigation history, you ran the new well, and I mean like very moderate, very conservative, because, and I would pay a power bill. You know, I'm not going to be throwing power bills out the window. But just enough to show them, hey, it works. You know it'll work. This is what it produces. And then that's the other thing is if it's not enough, which like I said, it would be like right at 30 acres is what I figured. But then we need, from what I've gathered and people I've talked to, before anybody would even touch it, we'd need to camera scope the old well and then probably test pump it. But I don't even know if you need to test pump it. It's the camera scope checked out because it's gonna be just as good as the new one. Maybe a little better because it's a little bigger. But they're the same. The static is the same. I think they didn't go quite as deep, like by like 20 feet from what I remember.
So the questions would be to use the new well and then get the information to give to NRCS.
Yes, ma'am.
And then to get a specialist, what do you call it, irrigation specialist.
And they would tell us, you know,
what would work.
What would work. You know, this is what you got, this is what you can do. And then we can maybe decide. And if it doesn't work, keep grazing it. I don't know. But you can put a smaller irrigation system in there. You can do a real line. But there's only so much water.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's enough to do, you know, 50 acres of real line, there's enough there to do 50 acres of pivot. But the NRCS deal, they're all about conserving water. So, I know if you go over there, turn it on, and letting it flood out on the ground, clearly it's wasting water. Some type of a sprinkler would, and their eyes meet their students.
What's your timing on all of this?
So like I said, I've already been working with NRCS, and I already have like a portfolio with FSA and NRCS. But I would say as quick as possible, but at least 2 years, you have to have a 2-year production history. And maybe they'd be nice and approve it faster, but I don't know. I've been dealing with the trough deal this is going on 2 years now. And I've heard of people getting funded in like 6 months.
So are you able to share your connection to the NRCS?
Yeah, anybody can. You could establish your own deal if you want.
I'm just wondering if we want to pair it with something else, it may be of value for us as a school to be asked.
Right. They do all kinds of programs. I wanted the trough because, again, they need some water. And they would help pay for it.
Who you been talking to over
there? Caleb Griffin and then David Stevens.
Yeah, remember for Caleb? Did you get shared?
Yeah. Yep, yep.
We'll start there.
Okay.
I'm back in touch with you because I'm sure we need to have a conversation.
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm going to ask people who are more knowledgeable.
Right.
Step in. Right?
Yep.
Any other questions right now for that?
Anything else you want to tell us?
Like I said, the old well would need to be probably scoped and test pumped. you might all want to do that just because, just to know what it is, it would be nice to know. And everybody, I mean, that would know about it is probably dead, so I don't know.
Probably if Bob Beck gets special anything.
I think it was beforehand, but I think Alford kind of stopped producing hay down there because of the well was not producing enough water to irrigate his crop. Mm-hmm.
The old well? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have a well line on it?
Yep. And I do know there is, you can really see it now too, there's a pipeline that goes up the hill back here. And they were probably getting it off the creek and gravity throwing it down there, which that would be the ticket. That's a lot. That's a lot of effort to get that maybe going. But good system, no power, free water, all downhill, you have all the pressure in the world. But
so when do we want to get back to you?
So you want to call it the next meeting? Yeah.
So I want to call MRCS first to get a little more info, and then I would love us to consider having, you know, a group that meet with Cash or just to sit down offline and really talk through. Learn, exactly, an ad hoc. You know, Stacy obviously has some information to share there too. Like, I'd like to just really dig a little deeper.
They have some funny ideas sometimes. So,
in RCS?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm thinking I'm going to talk to my USDA person too.
Yeah, they know that you can Google it. It has a tech program. Thank you. Maybe I'll just leave a bullet notes with you too.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
And you guys can make copies for everybody. Or...
I can do that.
Yes, yes.
All right.
That's all I got. Thank you guys.
Thanks for coming in on
this. Yeah. Yeah, so next meeting or?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, I don't know that we're ready to take a vote at that point, but come next meeting and let's keep the conversation going, see what we learn, what you learn.
Okay.
So that next meeting is April 21.
Okay.
It's the third Wednesday.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I still would like to get a drop in the field. And I might just do it because I'm sick of waiting on because like I said, I've been waiting on for 2 years now. But part of it was because they wanted to do a bunch of silly ideas. They wanted to do a bunch of cross fencing. And I was like, no, we don't want to do any of that.
Now, they've been out there since the fire, where you can actually see so much more now?
I don't know if he has.
Oh, that might make a
difference. I know he's been out there twice and looked. Mm-hmm. They cost share a bunch. They would cost share, like, the weed abatement, so spraying. They would cost share to plant that rye, which, I mean, you know, that's all stuff that I've just been doing. Yeah, they have a bunch of benefits.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to go. My wife has to work. So.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye. Do you needs assessment, was that what's next?
Yeah, the LCAP needs assessment.
So let me pass these to you. Back to everyone. So at this time of the year, we are just beginning to meet with teachers, parent groups, students, and we have to consider what are our needs for the local control accountability plan, right? The LCAP. And so I'm not ready to do anything with you necessarily. I'll certainly be sharing the results from those groups what input they give us, but I wanted to put these in your hands so that you could consider if there's any areas. These are the areas we have to answer to the state on. And so our LCAP is in response to these prompts, if you will. Stacy, you have a copy of that?
Yes.
So any error? If you got ideas, share them.
When do you have to do this by?
So the LCAP has to be completed really in May.
Okay.
Right. So the process begins now to start collecting information. These are surveys and just conversations and advisory council and, you know, any kind of meetings like that to start that conversation. It's a ridiculous volume of stuff. Yes. And we have to have a response for each and every one.
And so is this, it's yearly?
It's annually.
Mm-hmm. So last year, I assume a lot of these things were just due to COVID. We can do this, we can do that, we can, or.
And actually they weren't willing to take that for an answer pretty much.
Oh.
Because okay. The state really doesn't care that you have challenges.
Oh, okay.
So,
wow.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Now, okay? But we have something written from last year, which I'm hoping sure. We repeat a lot of it because we just are starting on a lot of the things, so. But again, this is just informational to let you know kind of
okay. The
kind of things we'll be tackling next.
Okay, the update on the COVID-19 protocols.
And truly, I don't know why I didn't put C and E together.
Okay.
So I'm going to present them together.
Okay.
What did I do with it? I did a survey on mask wearing for Doyle.
Oh, so, how did that turn out? I'm curious what the numbers were. You took that survey too.
Stacy, do you have a copy of that in front of you?
Yes.
Can you tell us the percentages?
86% wanted to eliminate. Is that what you're wanting?
Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
86% said they wanted to eliminate mask wearing, 12% said to keep it, and 1% that it didn't really matter.
I really want to give people an opportunity to say yay, nay. I really knew what those answers would be.
Sure.
And a lot of people made comments as well that weren't very nice.
They weren't nice?
They weren't nice. Or? Well, you know, they're just in general, we're, you know, ruining children. And
frustrated. Strong opinions.
Yeah. But it's okay. I like letting people have a way to say what they are feeling.
Sure.
Anyway, here's what the state has said. As of midnight or 11:59 p.m. this Friday, tomorrow, masks are no longer required at school.
Because there's so many students there.
Yeah. So, Grant, like, just give us a date, right? So, after Friday, beginning really the 12th, which is Saturday, masks are no longer required. They are strongly recommended, and they have told us that over and over again. Our insurance company wrote to us and said, just remember, they're strongly recommended, and you as a school could decide to still require them. If your county health department wanted it, you might have to do it. So they were just pointing out all the scenarios.
I think based on that feedback, that we make it very much that we're not requiring masks. And one of the things we've been talking about is just making sure that people who choose to wear a mask, because there's 12% that say they want to keep it, you know, they should still be able to wear a mask without having anybody giving them a hard time. So.
Speaking of, I just have a quick question. The mandates for the 5 to 12 year old kids, is that still in line for August 2023 or is that off the table yet?
It's not off the table.
It's not off the table.
No. Nope. Okay. Vaccinations are still on the table starting the beginning of the school year.
I'll be dropping my mail in ballot.
Right. So that's where we are right now. We're going to maintain keeping distance, keeping assigned seating at lunch, you know, keeping our cleaning kind of schedule. I think all those things are still appropriate at this point. And so I just wanted to kind of present that. I guess we could have done it as an action item, but you empowered me to keep up with as the law, the rules changed.
So they updated the mask mandates, but they didn't update the distancing and the cleaning and the all of that.
We haven't had a requirement to keep kids 6 feet apart.
Oh,
we just had a requirement to keep them as far apart as practicable.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's what the requirement changed to.
Like how you did the survey on the masks with the parents. Would it be worth it to run a survey to the parents? How many will take their kids out of school between the ages of 5 and 12 next August? If that's not off the day, I'm just curious, is it worth kicking around to have that number?
To do what with, Jason?
I just care to present to somebody. I don't, you know, it wouldn't matter to the state.
Well, to open that, I don't think so. Quite honestly, you have a big push by certain people at the state level. You know, Dr. Pan is very, Dr. Pan is on it. He's the one that eliminated the beliefs, personal belief exemption. So
oh, he really?
He's the one pushing this legislation.
I didn't know
he
did that.
Yeah, he did.
They're going after doctors too, but he knows.
Exemptions, yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They track them, right, Al? They track the doctors.
The county health can overturn them and ask over for a board.
Oh, wow. So even further. Okay. Anyway, that's where we're moving to at this point. And Jason, just for our own benefit, probably at the end of the school year, if we've not heard anything, I would include that in our end of the year survey to just find out what people are looking for, because if we need to be prepared to support more families in an independent study, like I'd like to know that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so that's where I would probably pull it in.
That's kind of the direction I was thinking too.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So did that cover C, D, and E?
Not D.
Okay. D. Oh, yes.
Were you prepared to talk about ELOP, that expanded learning opportunities program, just what progress you've made, what you're starting to look at?
So I talked about surveys, since had the students do surveys.
Well, I think we have to start from ground zero, a little more like what this program is and what we're, you want me to start? Mm-hmm. I'll start. Okay.
All right.
So the state gave us monies that they called expanded learning opportunities program. And it's, they only gave it to classroom-based programs. So Portola and Susanville are not benefiting from those monies. And it is a requirement to offer more hours per day and probably some hours during the summer to expand learning opportunities for students. And the target are students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. And so again, they're giving us money and there is not an opt-out option. We can't say, here, keep your money. We're not gonna do that. We have no choice but to put something on. This year, we're being allowed a planning year
So we've hired someone who would help coordinate what would end up being an after-school program that maybe we're going to do a couple days a week.
We're going to do a pilot, yeah, for just about 4 weeks.
So to just kind of get our feet wet here and see what's possible, see what interest there is. In all our conversations, we're really trying to keep it where maybe there's a bit of academic work, but also more just interest-based, where you can pull some great academics in it. Like if you did a study on robots, we have the robotic Lego stuff, you know, where it's more science and engineering that comes in with something that kids would really enjoy. We would feed them a snack. What are some of the other things you guys talked about? Well, now you've done a survey in what people are interested.
Right, ask what the kids' interest is, parents' interest. We talked about writing transportation at the end of the program because that's going to be one of our biggest issues mm-hmm. is parents are not going to have a way to come to kids. Having that short tutoring time, having somewhere they can do some one-on-one, or not one-on-one, but small group tutoring while others are doing more hands-on activity, and then switching that based on student needs. Get started, I think that's a pretty big chunk right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so the money covers the extra hours for staff, instructors, and yeah,
having a program coordinator,
right?
And you know, it's going to end up being some misty time and some aid time, because we've hired more full-time now.
Yeah, we have their hours worked. We have quite a few that have hours now that go until, you know, 4:30 or 5,
right?
So that we would have more staffing here, so we can do more small group and really reach individual needs.
So how do they determine? Do you tell them how much money we need to do all of that? Or
no,
they just give you some and you have to figure out with this much we could do this 2 days
much.
A week or one
so
day a week? Or
they are giving the money based on your percentage of students that qualify and your enrollment. So all of that factors in. And part of it is you have to do these surveys. They're very clear that you have to, the way I understand it is if our families say they only want 2 days a week, but that's all they'd be willing to have their kids come, then that's
right.
What we design. If the parents say, absolutely not, I want 4 days a week, then we have to look at, do we just do a shorter program, more days, or can only allow kids to come 2 days a week, but then we have two groups. Like, that's why planning a 4-week pilot was where, being this is a planning year, to really just see what that looks like.
Are they all categorical funds? Does the entire thing have to go towards it?
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
Again, we have no choice here.
No, you just don't want the money.
I've tried that.
Oh,
that's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not even an option
oh,
to say no, thank you.
Wow.
Because the state is absolutely driven on this idea that kids need a longer day.
Wow.
So, how are teachers supporting this? I mean, how you're saying Misty is picking up some of those hours, but how is that? What's the support from teachers?
It's going to be little support from teachers, Stacy. There are no hours. I mean, they're all working full time, right?
Right.
That's why we thought we could work with paraeducators to run it like most after school programs. The way I think teachers will have any involvement is just in our assessment type instruments, like our iReady can point out where some kids might need some help. So just even in the sharing of that information is probably where they would have a role. But I think that we just, you know, philosophically, we don't want this to be another 2 hours hours of school. We want it to be snack, fun.
Yeah.
How can we infuse some good things in there, you know, and give them a little time to work on, say, iReady or some units where they're helping where they are.
And we don't have an idea yet of what people think of it.
What feedback have you gotten?
The feedback is like people are interested. The problem we're hearing is the people saying, why is this only for free and reduced lunch? That's the feedback that's coming. We're even getting phone calls on that. Why, you know, because I think if your CYS isn't open anymore, these kids are going home after school by themselves, some of them. So our feedback is actually positive. The negative is why is it not open to all the kids?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where parents are kind of actually upset.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So there's no sideboards that comes with the money, like a teacher has to be with a certain amount of children or anything like that.
But not a teacher.
Okay.
It's an adult child ratio.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And so a lot of what we talked about will work for us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's really interesting.
Be really good for the kids right now too, because we're just talking about, you know, they haven't had those social times and everybody's cram during the school day. And like, I mean, it would be nice for the kids to actually have times to engage and have conversations about and, you know, learn in the process, because that is huge.
And then I think if we can run a 4-week pilot and we can actually have a budget and see what our expenditures were, then we can start analyzing what else we can do. Can we make it open for more? Because if you make, you know, most schools, when they have an after-school program, are charging for it, right? We can't charge a free and reduced lunch eligible student, but could we charge for?
Because a parent even asked that, actually. Yes,
right.
We had a parent say, could we pay for this?
Yeah.
No, we did have one ask that.
So, I mean, those are all the elements that we have to struggle with here.
What percentage are free and reduced lunch parents?
So, we're almost at 60% here.
Almost at Susan.
Maybe more people will fill out the forms if they know they might qualify for some after school.
I can tell you the EBT really played a role in that too this year. So I'm thinking their mindset will be a little bit different.
Because
they refused, parents refused to fill out our forms. So this EBT, they didn't qualify, so they didn't get this free money. So now they're upset.
Couple times in the summer and it should be part of.
Right.
What are the requirements to be free and reduced lunches? What's the threshold, income threshold?
Depends how many kids.
The new ones this came out, it's pretty low.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think it's like the 32,000 range for one.
Because you said maybe one of those to Jason. So we want to let you know about that. And that's like one of these programs we have to be dealing with and figuring out and starting from scratch.
Is that for all schools?
Yes.
Lego robots, I'm like
that. We'll take volunteers.
Lego robots, I'm like here.
Okay. Anything else then on the information items?
No, that's enough.
Let's
cruise.
Okay, on to the action items. Item A, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the second interim budget for Long Valley and Thompson Peak Charter.
To approve.
Okay.
Second.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Next one, Stacy.
All in favor by roll. Sean.
Aye.
Wilma. Aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Item B, discussion and possible action regarding approval of administrative succession plan for 22 through 26.
Second.
All in favor by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Item C, discussion and possible action regarding approval of proposed org chart.
Sorry, I didn't want to catch up.
Am I reading too
slow? You had a pause there.
Second.
We got Stacy.
Yeah.
Okay.
All in favor by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Item D, discussion of possible action regarding approval of updated Western Association of Schools and Colleges, WASC, school-wide action plan for Thompson Peak. I will second.
Good job on 6 years.
Approval by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Item E, discussion and possible action regarding approval of estimate by the all-season heating and air for mini split heating and cooling systems for Doyle rooms three and four.
Grade 3, 4, and grade
4, 5. Yeah. I'll second. All in favor by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Item F, discussion and possible action regarding approval of temporary employee evaluation system for 21-22.
Would you approve?
Second. She got it.
Okay. All in favor by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Item G, discussion and possible action regarding approval of new CTE pathways games simulation.
You're ready to go, aren't you, Sean?
Out of here.
Somebody got a second on that?
I'll second.
We're done.
Almost.
Last vote. All in favor by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Okay, future items.
Talk slow, Wilma.
Talk slower.
No, Ms. B.
So we'll add the stuff that Cash presented.
Thank you. And I just want to again remind you that it's the third Thursday next month because we're on spring break the second Thursday.
So next month is the 21st?
21st. April 21st.
You'll email us to remind us, right?
You bet.
Okay.
You bet.
Okay. Anything else? We'll adjourn at 7:04.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.